From ghostly encounters, chilling prophetic dreams, to seances and secret meetings on extraterrestrials, the White House has seen its fair share of paranormal happenings. Politics can be scary, but policies and black budget government projects aside, there's actually a lot to be said about some of our presidents and their connection with the unexplained. This is Fright Life, a paranormal podcast. And this President's Day, we are discussing U.S. presidents and the paranormal.
Hey, welcome to Fright Life. We're your hosts, Joss and Monique.
Hello.
And on this episode, we are discussing U.S. presidents and their connection with the paranormal.
Absolutely. It is President's Day weekend here in the United States, which is just a federal holiday. I think a couple of presidents' birthdays fall around this time, so I guess it was just selected as President's Day. But basically, we're going to discuss a few interesting cases about the White House being haunted, which is a big thing, about some prophetic dreams and some really interesting stuff that happened during Lincoln's presidency. And we're going to dive into a couple of modern sightings, as well as the rumors that the Reagan administration, specifically First Lady Nancy Reagan, and how she really dove into utilizing a psychic.
Yeah.
During Reagan's presidency.
Yeah, that story is really cool. I enjoyed learning about that one.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that later, and then Joss will enlighten us on some things that we've maybe touched on in the past and will expand on more in possibly future episodes, because some of it, you know, has its own merit for like an entire show, but something we all know and love to look in on, and that's a president's connection to UFOs, UAP, extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah.
And all that.
When we were first planning this episode, it started as ghosts of the White House.
Yeah.
And then Mo sent me a link to an article about Nixon and his connection to UFOs and aliens. And I just got so excited. Like, we're going to add aliens into this. I'm so excited.
Well, and they must be. I mean, we've talked about the Eisenhower administration, and we'll touch on that again a little bit, but we have an entire episode on that. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back and check out our Eisenhower episode that I think we did during a President's Day last year or the year before.
That sounds like something we would do.
Right. We like a good, you know, topical convo. So if we sound a little strange, or this kind of just adds to kind of what we're doing right now with investigating and even military kind of government stuff, is we are coming at you from San Diego, California.
Yeah, we've had a wild...
We're on the road.
48 hours.
Yeah.
We hopped in the car after work on Friday and drove, what, 16 hours?
Like 17 point something hours.
With our close friends Brad and Lakin, and drove straight through the night and arrived in San Diego yesterday at around 9:30 in the morning. Had some amazing breakfast, and then
The place is called Werewolf.
Yeah,
It was epic brunch. So we highly recommend Werewolf in San Diego.
Yeah, top marks for sure. And then we got to our Airbnb and just found it to be just trashed. Like, nobody cleaned it.
Yeah, gross.
And it was super gross. So we pivoted and got a hotel room downtown. And we are currently sitting on the fluffiest hotel beds, just kind of hovering over our microphones and bringing you some spooky tales from the White House.
Yeah, so we're a little bit doing things like slightly differently, but we thought we'd have fun with it. So let's dive in. We're going to start with the history of the White House. So the property where the White House was erected at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., in the United States, it was donated in 1790 by a man named David Burns. And in 1792, the first cornerstone of the White House was laid, and construction began following that after a state-sponsored design contest to find just the right architect for the job. So that's already kind of like a big fanfare.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they decided, like, we need an executive mansion, so we better get that going.
Yeah, like, it has to be, like, stylish and fancy
they're like, okay,
fit the part.
Revolutionary War, we've got the Constitution sorted, mostly.
Sure.
no, like we're still working on that. Let's get that presidential palace, that executive mansion hooked up. So, Irish architect James Hoban was selected after submitting a Georgian-style concept, and construction was not far enough along until 1800. By then, the country was on to its second president, John Adams. And John and Abigail Adams were the first to make the executive mansion their home.
Yeah.
It was later dubbed the White House by, I believe, Roosevelt.
Okay.
So, it wasn't called that right away. But the ghost stories tied to the Adams administration were talked about in 1961 by Lillian Rogers Parks, who had worked in the White House as a seamstress for 30 years, obviously not during the Adams administration.
Right.
But she had heard stories. And apparently a valet for one of our presidents had heard a disembodied voice very distinctly saying, "I am Mr. Burns."
Whoa.
And then during Truman's time in the White House, someone else, a security guard actually, witnessed a disembodied voice in another room say the exact same thing.
No way.
"I am Mr. Burns." And he went and was looking. I mean, this is a security guard.
Yeah.
So he's looking around and no one was there.
Whoa. So they both heard, "I am Mr. Burns"?
Yeah. So it's like, "I was saying Boo-ers." You know, it's a ghost. Just like going around introducing himself.
That's a good Simpsons callback.
It's my favorite one to make.
Anytime
I can be set up for a "I was saying Boo Earns," I'm here for it. So if you're wondering why I brought that up during the Adams administration era, it's because if you weren't paying attention, there will be a quiz at the end of this.
I wasn't.
Mr. Burns is the name of the man who donated the land for the White House build.
Whoa.
So investigators link him to the land.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's walking around like, this looks nice.
"I'm Mr. Burns."
Yeah.
"You're on my land."
Yeah. So
I've been here for 84 years.
So it's just cool though.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
he
awesome.
Didn't have a house there. I don't know what that really, why he'd be haunting it specifically, except that, yeah, maybe he was excited that he donated the land and then it's this really impressive, important piece of our government and history.
Well, okay, let's dissect this little piece of paranormal evidence though really quick, because I like this because there's a callback specifically to
the Simpsons
A two, that there's a direct connection to the land or the history of the property.
I mean, even in that time, modern history of the property, because let's be fair.
Sure.
How long was it, did he own it to give it away?
But do the people that heard this disembodied voice know who he was or like what he contributed?
So no, actually. They had to find that out after they heard it, like in sharing that story.
Yeah.
They were like, well, you know, the history of the White House, Mr. Burns donated the land.
Right.
And then the security guard during the Truman administration, there was actually someone who worked in the White House with the last name Burns at the time.
Okay.
But, and so he just thought it was him.
Sure.
But then he couldn't find him, couldn't find anybody.
Yeah.
And he asked for him and they were like, oh, he's not here today. I mean, I don't know why he'd be walking around just, I'm Mr. Burns, walking from room to room.
Right.
But because as an established worker in the White House already, but, you know, you're going to check like, oh, hey, I thought I heard so-and-so up here.
Yeah,
like, oh,
exactly.
He's not here. Yeah.
So I don't know. I love that.
Yeah,
that's
really,
really cool.
Really cool. So when John and Abigail Adams moved into the White House, it was sparsely furnished, dark and drafty. There were hardly any rooms being used or designated at that time. And Abigail Adams used to use the East Room for hanging her laundry, apparently. And
that's kind of amazing. Like, yeah. I love, you always think of like U.S. presidents or like royalty or whatever as like these people that are like larger than life and like they're, mm-hmm. they're, everybody knows who they are, but also they have laundry.
Yeah. <It's> like, right. They're just like us. They hang their laundry. No, so she would use that room for her washing, and some say they have smelled the scent of soap in that room.
Okay.
And like fresh laundry.
Yeah.
And that she can even be seen sometimes, like her ghostly figure has been seen in the East Room. So.
That's creepy.
Yeah. Wait till we get into the East Room a little bit more, because it was used for a lot of things after that.
More than just laundry?
Yeah. Some darker things for sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So another piece of paranormal folklore tied to the White House is that there is the ghost of a British officer carrying a torch. Now, this links us possibly to the Madison administration. So we're jumping ahead a little bit.
Okay.
During the War of 1812, I can never remember his first fucking name. James. James Madison.
I was gonna say, it's probably John or James.
Probably, yeah. James Madison. I always remember his wife, Dolly Madison. I actually did a report on Dolly Madison in like fifth grade.
And nerd.
I was really proud of it. No, because she was kind of a badass. Yeah. So during the War of 1812, we were at war with England again.
Typical.
Yes, I'm American.
Yeah.
America was at war with England again. It was on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
And the White House had been established. James and Dolly Madison were living there. And James Madison was away, like on the front, whatever they mm-hmm. were doing. And he was writing to Dolly Madison, like, be prepared. Shit's getting crazy, you know. And this is that archive that she wrote a letter to.
James.
Yeah. wrote a letter to her sister, really worried about it, and that officers showed up at the door saying, like, get everything ready, grab all of the state important things mm-hmm. if should anything happen, and get in the carriage and get on out of here.
Yeah.
But in 1814, as things were escalating and the British redcoats, as we say,
mm-hmm.
Were getting closer to kind of in the D.C. area on foot, the Madison White House was hosting a dinner for officers. And they actually did not eat that dinner because the redcoats showed up and were burning the Washington, D.C.
Whoa.
And they actually set fire to the White House. Rude. And Dolly Madison, was going around getting all of the important things, like even portraits of like George Washington from the wall and packing it up to get out of there.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. So she was, you know, she didn't just run out. She was like, I need this, you know, and grabbing all of the historical documents that they were keeping there. But the ghost that's seen and why it's tied to that era, the Madison administration, is that it is a British redcoat carrying a torch.
Wow.
So is he one of the people who were setting fire to Washington, D.C.? And the White House actually burned, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
All of the interior was destroyed. And a lot of D.C. was burned during that 1814 incident, during the War of 1812.
Yeah.
So, really crazy. And also, I don't know if any of you guys follow me on Instagram, but during the research for this, I was just reading up on the War of 1812 and had a really weird dream that I was just there. I don't think I was even me.
Right.
And the dream didn't really consist of much except that I was kind of outside on foot in a dress with mm-hmm. a couple other people. And we were just sort of hiding and like going from place to place and like hiding from like soldiers, officers.
Right.
And people are like, oh, well, that makes sense. You were researching it, so you had a dream about it.
Sure.
Which, of course, like, but I researched some of the scariest, darkest, most sinister, like, true crime
creepy possession stories, like, and I don't have nightmares about it ever at all.
Right.
And this was just me in the War of 1812 sort of hiding and being very anxious.
Yeah.
That was the whole dream. It was super weird.
You have a lot of dreams like that where you're not you.
I know.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
I want to poke around on that subject a little bit and find
out. I do not. Let's just keep my little brain uncracked.
Oh, we'll get in there.
Okay. Anyway, so let's move on. And during the Wilson administration, they moved into the White House in 1913, and the First Lady ordered for the West Garden to be removed to make room for a new Rose Garden that she wanted to be there. Okay? But during the construction of this new garden, they were about to go in and, like, rip everything out, which I feel like is kind of rude. But the First Lady was like, hey, this is my house now. I want to make my mark on it. Here's what we're doing. Redesigning this entire garden.
Yeah, clear out the old garden.
Yeah. So the gardeners are there, ready to go. And they stop immediately because apparently they see, hovering above them, between them and the garden, an angry, ghostly figure of a woman with black curly hair and a pale face.
No way.
And she's mad.
Well, yeah.
Because that ghost was possibly First Lady Dolly Madison, who planted that original garden.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So she was like, do not touch my garden. What are you even doing here? She's like, I saved this White House. Like, I was here when it was engulfed in flames.
Yeah.
Grabbing all of the important documents. And my garden survived. And you're going to take it out?
So
not over my dead body. And they were like, well, that's what we're really trying to do.
I'll curse your family.
Yeah.
So I'll curse your cow.
She was mad. And so a bunch of people witnessed this ghost at the same time.
Yeah, several people.
Yeah. I mean, this one is less documented. It falls under the folklore.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. But
well, what are they going to document it with? Back then it's So did they end up actually ripping up the garden?
I actually don't know. We have to look into that part. I have an asterisk here that says, see if they went back to change the garden.
I mean, I wouldn't. I would definitely quit my gardening duties at the White House and find a less haunted garden to disturb.
Right. Or just, like, pick a different area of the of the lot, right?
The East Garden assumes that there is also a West Garden, a North Garden, and a South Garden.
Yeah.
So, you know, do one of those.
Right. Pick a corner. Let's take stock here real quick. We've got the I was saying Boo Burns ghost, uh-huh. Mr. Burns. That's disembodied voice.
Yep.
We've got
Laundry Ghost.
Yes. The smell and the sighting of Abigail Adams.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the British Redcoat with the torch, who's Torchy possibly ghost. A, you know, officer from the War of 1812. And we've got the full-bodied apparition of possibly First Lady Dolly Madison. Okay.
So, this is so cool because they're all different.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. This is so cool. Okay, go.
So now, moving on, we've got a sighting of President Andrew Jackson. He was a very popular and well-liked president, but he was also known for his general grouchy nature and short temper, which I don't know how those things go together, but everybody loved it. And following his death, Mary Todd Lincoln believed that she experienced the ghost of this president, President Jackson, swearing angrily and stomping around. And sometimes he could even be heard laughing in the Red Room, which I guess used to be his bedroom.
Wow.
So that's interesting.
That's cool.
So speaking of Mary Todd Lincoln, the one who reportedly saw Andrew Jackson's ghost, this brings us to a pretty large portion of presidents and the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lincolns had some major shit going on.
Yeah.
So Mary Todd Lincoln was the First Lady, and she practiced spiritualism.
Yeah.
So, A, she's awesome. 2, Abraham Lincoln had some paranormal encounters of his own. Mm-hmm. And they're also varied. So it's not just him seeing some ghosts.
Yeah.
And 3, they did live in the White House during a time of great turmoil in our country.
Sure.
So basically, it was some of the darkest days in the White House as an administration and also personally. Basically, the Civil War was dividing the nation. The country was in turmoil. But tragedy struck even closer to home when the Lincolns' beloved son, Willie, succumbed to an illness and died in the White House on February 20th, 1862. His funeral was held in the East Room. So we mentioned that room before. And the Lincolns were, of course, devastated by the loss of their son. Mary Todd, who was interested in spiritualism, believed that she was visited by Willie's ghost regularly. And that is archived in letters written by Mary Todd Lincoln to her half-sister, claiming that Willie would visit her foot of her bed every night, and that he would come sometimes with other people and assure her that he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could just say, you know, she's into spiritualism. She could be wishful thinking. She could be thinking of this more of a psychic connection,
right,
rather than like, oh, there's actually a ghost that other people can spot. But this is not claimed only by Mary Todd Lincoln. There's actually claims of a little boy ghost in the White House since then. And some don't even attribute it or connect the dots to Willie Lincoln.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick. How old? So he was a little boy.
He was young.
Away. Okay.
So this was in the 1860s. Mm-hmm. In 1911, a military aide in the White House named Archibald Butt, which, like, what a name.
Archie Butt?
Yeah. Wrote a letter. This is also this is archived and documented. And his letter says, "It seems that the White House is haunted. The ghost, it seems, is a young boy from its description. The housekeeper, a spooky little person herself, informs me that he has been felt more often than he is seen."
Ooh.
So he doesn't even say anything about Willie Lincoln.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the staff at the White House acknowledges the fact, you know, to them, it's a fact.
Yeah.
That there's a little boy who can be felt around the White House.
Right. And this guy, Mr. Butt, is hearing eyewitness accounts from
the housekeeper and the staff.
Yeah.
And writing about it to someone, which is in an archive.
So he was compelled enough by it.
Yeah.
Presumably someone who's not like into the paranormal.
Right.
Like, you have to keep in mind that back then that there weren't ghost shows, and it wasn't like such a cultural phenomenon, you know, for people to be like, oh, like.
Well, and actually that's true. Going back to the Lincolns and Mary Todd practicing spiritualism, mm-hmm. she held seances in the White House.
Yeah.
And people, it was distasteful.
Yeah.
Because
right.
people were like, do not do this. This, you know, you got to separate these beliefs from your politics and policies, and, you know, they just didn't want that kind of stuff mixing in.
Yeah, makes sense. And it was a little taboo to be.
Sometimes. I mean, there were times when spiritualism was actually really popular in America, and it sort of roller coastered up and down since these times. But yeah, basically you have to be careful with that sort of thing, and you can't have the president going around saying he's seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
but this isn't the first time. We already mentioned Mary Todd saw the ghost of Andrew Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
She also heard phantom violin music.
Oof.
Right.
Phantom music in the distance is something that, for whatever reason, just really like freaks me out. Like, so, gives me the goose pimples.
Yeah. So she went around. This was in the Yellow Oval Room. And she went looking for this violin music and couldn't find the source. And she believed it to be Thomas Jefferson, because he was a violinist, I guess. So she thought it was his ghost playing the violin in the Yellow Oval Room. And I'll save it for later, but this will not be the last time we hear of phantom music. in the White House.
Awesome.
So shortly after she heard this in the Yellow Oval Room, in the same area, the same room, she witnessed the ghost, or she thought, the ghost of John Tyler, one of our presidents, I guess. I haven't heard of him, really.
I don't know. I just think that, because I don't know. But, I mean, there's been a lot of presidents, and I can name, like, maybe 10, you know?
Like, the best and worst ones.
Right.
And there's going to be some that are in the middle.
He's fine.
So, apparently when Mary Todd Lincoln was passing the Yellow Oval Room, she saw who she thought or knew to be John Tyler down on one knee proposing to someone.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. And apparently, during his presidency, he lost his wife. She had passed away. And he proposed to someone else.
Okay.
During his presidency. Now, we're getting into a whole different thing here, because was she seeing a ghost?
Uh-huh.
Was it a residual haunting?
Right.
But then usually when that happens, it can be repetitive or seen by, you know, more than once. Or did Mary Todd Lincoln have some sort of psychic ability or connection with the space?
I was going to say.
Or was it like a time slip dimensional thing? So
yeah,
a lot of cool stuff could be going on. But Mary Todd Lincoln did claim, you know, she practiced spiritualism. She claimed a sort of psychic connection to the things around her and the universe. And she thought herself to be kind of, I mean, she was open to those things.
Yeah.
So she had a connection with that.
Well, just going back to the violin playing where she felt like it was Thomas Jefferson, like that could just be a psychic inkling, like, that popped in and she's like, oh yeah, no, totally, that was him.
Right.
And
rather than just like, okay, who would have been playing violin here?
Right.
And then like researching it, she maybe, had that kind of little knowing.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that even Abraham Lincoln did experience some strange happenings as well. So just after his election in 1860, Abraham Lincoln experienced something strange that he actually shared directly with Civil War journalist Noah Brooks, who later wrote about it in Harper's New Monthly magazine in 1865.
Okay.
And it's the incident was strange. Basically, the president was tired from the day. He laid down on a chaise in his office. And there was a glass. So I don't know if it was a mirror or glass on like an armoire or something.
Uh-huh.
But he describes laying back and looking in the direction of the glass and seeing his face, but that it's two distinct faces, one a few inches under the other, which could be just a weird glass situation.
Right.
You know, there are angles and things that cause distortion to images.
Like, sure.
There's a lot of ways that can happen. But he noticed that one of the faces was five shades paler than the other, and it just gave him a weird feeling. You know, he admitted to being tired. He admitted to being laying down. It could have been the angle. But the feeling he got with it was strange. And he tried to recreate it a couple of times. Like, he sat up, laid back down, checked the glass. And it did happen a few more times for him. And it bothered him enough to mention it to his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, who said that she thought it to be an omen that he would not survive his second term.
Whoa.
Right?
Oh, man.
Because as we all know, he did not.
Right.
So that by itself is creepy, but then it's like he actually was assassinated.
How do you have that conversation with your spouse?
Right.
Like, hey, just so you know, I feel like that weird mirror thing you saw, you're going to die soon.
Right.
And then what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, I know. It's totally weird and really heavy. But that sort of is what it was like in the White House during that time.
Yeah.
Really heavy, ominous, dark, scary. You know, a lot of scary things were going on in the country.
Yeah.
And in their house. They were having, you know, suffering tragedy themselves as a family within the White House.
Yeah.
So, aside from the mirror thing, which Mary Todd Lincoln specifically says is an omen of his death.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln, who writes about this as well, so this is documented, archived information.
Mm-hmm.
In 1865, he had a troubling dream in his dream. He recounts that he thought he woke up, got out of bed, and heard subdued sobs coming from down the hall in the White House. And this is all, this is written about by Ward Hill Lamont in Recollections of Abraham Lincoln, which was published in 1895. Okay. Basically, so president, he thinks he wakes up, wanders through the White House. He hears sobbing. He finally comes across people and he sees that in the East Room, there's a corpse, a body, and people gathered around it, and that he demands who is dead in the White House. And one of the officers standing guard of the body says, the president. And then everyone breaks out in sobs.
Whoa.
And he sees that it's himself.
Yeah.
Shortly after this dream, in April of 1865, Abraham Lincoln goes to Ford's Theater and is assassinated by John Wilkes Booth.
That is bonkers.
Mm-hmm. He predicted this on more than one, like, paranormal happening.
Yeah.
He had the weird omen with the mirror that just weighed on him for some reason. Because you think that's, I mean, I want to put a pin, like a fine point on that. Because, yes, it seems a little superstitious. Mm-hmm. But he was, as we, you know, learn in history books, a very intelligent, logical, critical thinker.
Right.
And if you're looking in a mirror and just see that your reflection's a little odd, you usually would be like, oh, that's weird, and toss that out.
Yeah.
He felt an extra energy with it that caused him to kind of talk about it.
Well, and he was sort of fixated on it, too. Like you said, he experimented with it to try and figure out what was causing that.
Right.
And it didn't happen as a point where he could repeat it, like, purposefully.
Right.
He did experience it a couple more times, you said.
Right.
But it wasn't like,
but he tried to repeat
it's this
it to
angle,
show.
I see.
Right.
That's,
he couldn't,
you know,
show
debunked.
His wife.
Yeah.
He tried to show his wife later, and it wouldn't happen the same way.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know for sure, but even if it was like a trick of the mirror, he still had a feeling, this is what I'm saying, of heaviness and dread that his wife was like, that's an omen. You won't survive your second term. Then he has this dream where he sees his own body and they say the president was assassinated. Yeah. That's the thing too. They don't just say he died.
Right.
He said who died in the White House, and he says the president, he was killed by an assassin's bullet. That is what is said in his dream. And this is archived information.
Yeah.
So then when John Wilkes Booth assassinates him at Ford's Theater, he later dies actually in the building across the street. They take him across the street and he died the next morning.
Right.
I've been here to both buildings in D.C.
Uh-huh.
I sat next to the presidential box in Ford's Theater. And Ford's Theater has actually had a few tragedies since then.
Yeah.
Like, there was a fire. So it's all recreated, but there's still an energy in that building.
Sure.
And I had a weird experience. I think I've talked about this before. Near that president's box, you know, we were just there for a tour, and it wasn't a ghost tour or anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm also a huge history nerd.
Yep.
If you can't tell. So I didn't really have my paranormal hat. I mean, it's always on.
Right.
But I didn't have it tuned up at the time. I was there to learn about history, learn about Lincoln. And the two ideas, you know, history and the paranormal, cross often. It's one of my favorite things about both,
right,
you know. Yeah. But like I said, I wasn't in the mindset at that time. It was like 9 a.m., our last day in D.C., and I just tried to cram in being able to see Ford's Theater.
Yeah.
And I was walking to leave, and I passed the door that leads to the president's box.
Yeah.
And, like, got woozy, like a full, like, spiral of energy.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, that was weird. And I just had to stand there for a second and take it in.
I just have this kind of working thought that pops into my head every once in a while about areas that have experienced pivotal moments in history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a point where maybe John Wilkes Booth decided not to do it. And there's a whole other timeline.
Ooh, and I like different. Stepped into like the threshold of where that took place.
Right. This is something that cool. we experience all the time as humanity, you know, or like people who are kind of tuned into the paranormal, where you get into a little pocket where it's like something really important happened here. And this is like where a divergence in realities
weird.
Happen or timelines.
Ooh, cool.
You know,
it's a little like energy vortex that your biosensors are like, oop, something, there's something.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I look more into that at some
because
point.
Because it was. I was right in that door.
Uh-huh.
I sat there for a whole speech and a tour on Lincoln. And actually the people who were in the row next to us were really like catty, like kept talking. They were rude. So I was sort of thrown off.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't even as into it as I could have been.
Right.
You know, and I'm just saying that as like I wasn't fully like, ooh, yeah, and then this, and then let's get my imagination going, and let's get my... I was sort of like...
You were not in the moment, and you were distracted by environmental things around you.
Yeah, a-holes.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I guess let's go. You know, it was sort of like that. And then I passed that door and had like a, ooh, that was creepy. There was just a feeling. So yeah, that's interesting. I love your theory about those little spots.
I will expand on it further.
Excellent.
Okay.
So a quick check-in on this. We've got the Lincolns in the White House. The country is dark in some of its darkest days. The first family experiencing their darkest days. We've got spiritualism, sightings of Willie Lincoln's ghost, Mary Todd Lincoln seeing other ghosts, other presidents, phantom music, President Lincoln having weird experiences.
Documented
strange experiences that kind of came to fruition, right? So now it's even darker in America. The president's been assassinated. And since then, aside from the paranormal experiences by the Lincolns now are what?
Passed on.
And being experienced as ghosts in the White House.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah. So we've got the first one to fully, like, it's documented to speak on this is actually First Lady Grace Coolidge, wife of Calvin Coolidge, who lived in the White House from 1923 to 1929. And she claimed to see the ghost of Abraham Lincoln pacing back and forth and looking out the window over the Potomac River from the Yellow Oval Room.
Weird. Okay, so that's another point real quick to just check in on. We've got Yellow Oval Room has had several incidents, and the East Room,
which is where Willie's funeral was held.
Right.
I think we'll talk about that more. So yeah, we have certain rooms that things are happening in.
Yeah.
The Red Room, which is where Andrew Jackson was heard. By Mary Todd Lincoln, but that was his bedroom.
And where 50 Shades takes place.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I know things.
Okay, you're a nerd too in a different way. So, you know, and we've got now what will be known as the Lincoln's bedroom.
Okay.
Which wasn't actually Lincoln's bedroom, but it was his office.
Gotcha.
Before they made the West Wing, which holds all of the offices now. He had his executive office in what is now referred to as the Lincoln bedroom, which does. So he spent time there.
Right.
Important time. And it is furnished with Lincoln's furniture, like actually pieces that they picked out under his presidency.
Wow.
And belonged to them. So Winston Churchill was offered Lincoln's bedroom when he came to stay and consult with Roosevelt. He stayed one night in Lincoln's bedroom and asked to be moved the next day. He could not sleep. He felt unsettled, and he said that he felt the room was haunted.
Whoa.
Right. In 1952, Queen Juliana of the Netherlands stayed in the White House as a guest, and she was put in Lincoln's bedroom as well. and she said she was awoken in the night by a distinct knock on the door, got up, opened the door, no one was there. So, creepy as well.
Classic.
Right? And then in December of 1968, First Lady Lady Bird Johnson shared her thoughts. It was around the centennial of Lincoln's presidency and his death.
Uh-huh.
And she was just in her room, I guess, watching TV, like just hanging out,
right,
relaxing. And she suddenly got an eerie chill and felt compelled to look over in this direction. And it was like a specific plaque about Lincoln. And she just felt like it was just a moment.
Sure.
So it could have just been a sentimental moment. You know, she noted it was around the time. But she felt compelled to look over there and have that thought.
Okay.
So did she, you know, was that sort of like a little psychic connection with something?
A little psychically charged moment.
Right.
That's cool.
Tony Savoy, who was White House operations foreman at the time, came in. This is modern, actually, so semi-recent.
Okay.
In the terms of, you know, the history of the country.
Yeah.
He came in to turn the lights off in the White House and care for the plants. He also came in the morning to turn the lights on. And when he came in one morning to turn the lights on, he saw the ghost of Lincoln sitting with his hands folded and just looking out straight ahead. It didn't acknowledge that he was there. It was just Lincoln.
Creepy. Yeah.
So maybe a residual thing.
Yeah.
Maybe a time slip moment. But yeah, he recalls the details of Lincoln's clothing down to like the pinstripes on the suit.
Interesting.
So he also went to tell this story to the White House assistant usher, Nelson Pierce, who basically was like, oh, yeah, you're not the first one to have claimed to see this.
Yeah.
So just more corroboration, more, you know, little rumors amongst the staff about ghosts.
Yeah.
And full apparitions. But specifically of Lincoln now at this time. It's a big Lincoln moment.
Sure. No, that's so cool. I love that there was like details.
Yeah, you know, he could drink it all in. It wasn't like a, oh, I thought I saw something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. That's such a, you know, there's, I always see people creeping around the corner.
Ugh, I hate that.
And that, don't freak out. That happens at our house all the time.
Oh, I already know. Okay. Don't freak out. It's the worst thing, you guys. I'll be sitting there talking to him and he just looks slightly behind my shoulder and then back at me. As if I should just continue my conversation. And I'm like, no, no, no. What the hell was that? Like, oh, right, nothing, just nothing. I just thought I saw. Go ahead. What were you saying? And it's like, fucking what? No. And also warn me. Don't just casually look if there's something lurking behind me.
Well, it's just a thing where it like catches my eye and then I have to like.
Yeah, we've got
creepers.
Did
I see a thing? Or what is, yeah, it's so weird.
The little like peekaboo ghost ideas are like. That freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah. I hate it because specifically it's like,
give me my privacy. Why are you peeking in on our conversation?
That, but also is it just my mind playing tricks on me?
Also
or is
scary.
It, yeah, I mean,
a tricky
exactly.
mind. Like, that's one of my worst fears.
I don't know how
I'd
to
rather
feel about it.
Have it be ghosts.
But it's, yeah. It's always just like half the face, just like,
yeah.
And then they go back.
Ugh. Yeah. You know. I see it too.
Blech.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, so they're seeing full-bodied apparitions in the White House now for like decades and decades and administration after administration.
Yeah.
And like housekeeping staff after housekeeping staff, which actually a lot of them stay on for a long time. Like once you're a White House, you know, member of staff, you're like in there.
Yeah.
So that's really cool because then you have a broader timeline of experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I love that. That's cool.
So now I'm going to talk about Harry S. Truman,
okay,
who evidently seems to be quite the little paranormal believer. So in May of 1945, there is a diary entry by Harry Truman that says, "The maids and butlers say he," this is Lincoln he's uh-huh. talking about, "has appeared on several occasions." And he kind of goes on to write about the haunting
yeah.
feeling of the White House. In September of 1946, Truman writes, "At 4 o'clock, I was awakened by three distinct knocks on my bedroom door.
Oh.
I jumped up, put my bathrobe on, opened the door, and no one was there."
Whoa.
Yeah. He talks about how he checked down the halls, looked in on his family, who were sleeping nearby, and says, "The damn place is haunted, sure as shootin'." That is a quote by Harry S. Truman in, like, archived documents.
Oh, my God, I love that mm-hmm. so much.
He also checked in with the Secret Service, and he notes that the Secret Service mentioned there were no watchmen even patrolling at that time. So he checked. He's like, was anybody up here?
Yeah.
You know? And he wrote about this a lot. Like, dozens of times there is documented archived material where Harry Truman writes about the White House being haunted.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's really interesting. One of those accounts says, "The ghosts walked and walked last night. I left all the doors open. That gave me the chance to hear all of the pops and creaks." So he was into it.
Yeah.
Really cool. And around the time of his presidency, so there, the Trumans are in the White House. The White House is needing some upgrades and a little bit of a interior facelift. So they start construction on some things.
And we all know what happens when you start constructing on a haunted house.
Yeah, it can tend to stir up some ghosts. So far during the Truman administration, it's just him hearing things, writing about them.
Yeah.
So these are just firsthand accounts. But by a president of the United States of America.
Right.
But that changes when, in May of 1950, the White House official White House photographer, Abby Rowe, is taking pictures of the construction. So there's, like, digger machinery and, like, everything is kind of torn up in this area where she snaps a photo.
Uh-huh.
And this is an official White House photo that seems to capture a man in the far corner of the patio who was not there. So there is a figure in this photo.
Is that the episode cover art then?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's awesome.
I know. It's really cool.
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I'll show you. We'll pull it up.
Okay, so I just found the picture. It's so creepy.
Yeah, the ghost, or what's being said is, you know, the ghost,
uh-huh.
is actually in, like, the top center, and he's transparent.
Yeah, you can see the wall.
You can see the wall behind him, but there's a distinct outline figure.
Yeah.
And there are people in the photo, and, like, tools and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And you can see it clearly. So nothing is moving. There's no weird double exposure anywhere. Like, and this is an official White House photo. So wow. It's pretty astounding.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
And some people are claiming that this is Abraham Lincoln. I don't know where they're getting that, but
I think because it's just, like, a tall figure. And he's so predominant. So many people claim that his ghost is there.
It looks like he's wearing, like, a long coat, you know, like a long black coat.
I don't know. That guy looks creepy. I don't get Abe Lincoln from that. That looks scary.
That looks like his bones were.
Yes. That looks like somebody's bones were found while they were digging and excavating the area.
Yeah.
And he was disturbed. I don't know if I get Abe Lincoln vibes from that.
Well,
Abe Lincoln is more like looking out and pondering things.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you guys check it out. I mean, Joss will probably use it for the cover art if we can.
Either that or we'll post it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So now I'm going to get into a couple of modern sightings, and then we'll talk about a different type of paranormal in the White House. And
okay. You guys are getting an extra large bonus length episode here.
Shoot,
this is great.
Sorry.
No, this
talking
is good.
Too much?
It's so
okay.
good.
So perhaps, you know, superstition of the times and the spiritualism of Mary Todd Lincoln and the tragedies and all of that helped to create some of the ghostly folklore having to do with the White House and our presidents. But there have been actually more reports of ghosts in modern times and an increasing number of sightings and documented material.
Oh, wow.
So that's just an interesting thing. One is in 1992, during the Bush Senior administration, but this actually is a sighting by George W. Bush. Okay. He was working on his father's reelection campaign, and he found himself to be alone, and he was like, all right, I'm going to go work out. So he went to, like, the gym area and was on a stationary bike, working out, thinking, doing whatever W would do before his time in office. And as he exited the workout room, he saw a shadowy figure in the hallway.
Whoa.
Yeah, like full sighting.
That's cool.
Later, when his family, when he was elected, and his family moved into the White House, he had two twin daughters. They were 19 at the time. And his daughter, Jenna Bush, was in her room, and she heard, like, 1920s music playing in her room just faintly, and she couldn't figure out where it was coming from.
Dude.
She went and woke up her sister, Barbara, who came into the room and claims, Jenna claims that Barbara corroborated this and could hear it as well.
Whoa.
And now remember, this is not the first time that eerie phantom music was heard in the White House.
Yeah.
And Mary Todd Lincoln actually also heard this in the 1860s. Now, hers was violin music. Jenna Bush said it was like creepy 1920s music.
Yeah.
And this has happened to us before. In kind of a weirder situation, which I think we've talked about. We had this, I don't know, we need to like all dissect this. We didn't properly do it in the time before like the memories faded and things are all kind
of...
But we were house sitting for Joss's parents. We've talked about this in a podcast, so I'll just briefly. His parents, his mom and stepdad of, at the time, were in Thailand. So we were there for a while because I think they were gone for like 4 weeks or something. And weird things were happening. Like we heard drawers opening and closing at night. Like, and they were like slidey on track drawers. So you hear them easily sliding in and out. Because we were sleeping on the wall behind the bathroom, like connected. And we were so creeped out that we invited friends over to stay. And so they were just in sleeping bags in his sister's bedroom. And
no, remember we said you sleep
We wanted them to sleep in the room where we could hear all the stuff
bedrooms.
In the bathroom. Yes. And so we were in his sister's room and... We're like, here, you guys see if you can experience any of this. So basically that's how it started. And we got like a weird phone call at like 3 o'clock in the morning that everyone heard it. And the phone was like loud, landline, echoing through the house. And we all just sort of walked down the stairs, like silently staring at each other. Like, why is the phone ringing at 3 a.m.? It had some weird caller ID, like it was your uncle, Henry. But we called him and he hadn't called us. And he was like, that didn't happen. And we're like, yes, this is it. The phone just rang. We all saw this. And then on the answering machine, 1920s music was playing.
That's why we walked downstairs, because it was one of those situations where the answering machine picks up.
Oh, yeah. It was down in the office
playing. You
could
hear it throughout the house.
And
so we were like, what the fuck is happening? And we
then
were
we were all standing
like,
in there listening to this machine message that was just playing like staticky 1920s music. And then we hear a loud glass shattering.
That's right.
And we looked everywhere and couldn't find anything. And then I was going to go make like a midnight snack kind of situation. And I opened the dishwasher and there was glass everywhere in the bottom of the dishwasher.
And it hadn't, but
it hadn't been running. It was 3 o'clock in the flipping morning. So that was creepy. But yeah, the like eerie music coming as if from nowhere or out of time, out of context is one of the coolest, creepiest things.
Oh, I forgot about a lot of details about that weekend.
It was so weird. We've got to get like, that gang back together and see what they think on this.
Look at
goosebumps. Oh my God. Yeah. It was weird. Yeah. It was so weird.
That was bizarre.
And then we just like went about our regular life.
Yeah.
And this was before we were investigating. And actually, that weekend, we looked up cameras and recorders and investigation tools.
Yep.
Because we were like, we have to figure this out. And then we just sort of forgot about it.
Yeah.
But that was one of the little first steps toward like, we have to investigate this. So it was a pivotal moment for us too.
Today is my mom's birthday.
Yay! So we have to stop recording and call her immediately.
I text her.
Okay. Texted.
I said, I'm going to call you later, but okay. I just want to say happy birthday. Anyway, so I'm going to call her and ask her if she remembers anything weird about that house.
Yeah, did we even tell them about it?
Not only that, but we also had that freaking crazy thing in the backyard where there was that weird, like, cackling laugh.
Yeah,
remember?
Could have been a rabid raccoon.
A raveling.
Cackling.
It could have been a rabid cackling raccoon.
Yeah.
That's a class of raccoon that you encounter in the wild.
I don't know. I didn't hear it. I only heard the horror, the terror in Joss's voice.
Yeah.
Trying to get the dog back inside because something was creeping in the backyard. And we called the police.
Yeah, the police came
like
out.
A bunch of idiots.
It was crazy. Anyway. Okay.
So yeah, we'll ask your mom. Be like, happy birthday. Tell us more about your creepy your house.
Yeah.
She doesn't live there now. So.
No.
Okay.
Focus. We got to keep going. What else you got?
So, another modern encounter. Mr. Walker, who is the White House chief usher and has been, well, I'll have to check if he's current because I actually didn't do my research on that.
Okay.
But I believe so, at least in the last.
Recent.
Yeah, at least in the last few years. Yeah. And since the Nixon administration. Mm-hmm. So he was the guy for a long time and possibly still is. Because just a few years ago, he mentioned that during the late 70s or early 80s, he was standing with two police officers near the north portico when two doors, which were always open, like propped open decorative doors, they stayed open 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
These were not anything that got shut or locked. The three of them were standing there, the White House chief usher, who's always there, and two police officers. When the doors both slammed shut right in front of them.
Whoa.
Which could be a weird security thing. If these doors are always open, like, and they don't know how this happened. So they all three were like on a mission to figure out how this happened. They couldn't figure it out. It had never happened before, and it has never happened since.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now, of course, as the chief usher, he also can, you know, really say like, and yes, the housekeeping staff, everyone kind of has these low murmurings of ghosts in the White House too. So really cool.
That's great.
Aside from ghosts, spiritualism, seances being held in the White House, Lincoln's prophetic dream, you know, all of that. There's also been some paranormal fringy stuff that has taken place in the White House and even practiced by, or I guess dabbled in by, other presidents.
Yeah.
It's rumored that the Reagan administration used numerology, star charts and astrology to make decisions during Reagan's presidency.
Yeah.
Now, the Reagans deny this as like an official thing, but it's actually pretty connectable. So the Reagans were in Hollywood in the 50s before Reagan became president, and psychics and astrology were huge.
Right.
Sort of like it is now.
Yeah.
Like pretty common to like open Instagram and there's like, here's the horoscope for, you know, whatever. Here's the stone you should wear for this. And you know what?
Sure.
The position of the stars mean, and you know, Mercury's in retrograde again.
Yeah.
Just really giving us a, you know, beating us all to hell. But so that was big in the 50s. But people would consult, especially like Hollywood elite, would consult psychics.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun thing for them. So it's rumored that Nancy Reagan would partake in this. And she would see astrologer to the stars, Carol Ryder, who was apparently also known as the Gregarious Aquarius. Big. Yeah. So he was big, worked in Hollywood with a lot of famous Hollywood golden era elite.
Sure.
So that was sort of before the Reagan administration, but there was a thing set. She's into it.
Yeah.
She's seeking counsel from, you know, famous astrologers.
Yeah.
And during the Reagan presidency, especially after John Hinckley's assassination attempt on President Reagan in 1981, First Lady Nancy Reagan would begin to seek this out again.
Yeah.
And she was actually having like horrible anxiety. I mean, how could you not?
Right.
Like knowing that your husband is in danger, you know, and that he almost was assassinated, which actually the TV just turned on in the hotel room.
Okay. And I didn't want to like super bring it up, but this lamp behind you has been like flickering. So
shut up.
I just.
Okay. That one just did. Oh my God. This is amazing. Okay. The TV is off now again, by the way. It turned on and then it turned off. And Joss pointed out that the lamp behind me had been flickering, and I looked at him and said, shut up. And the lamp to my right flickered.
Super weird.
Cool. We have our gear. We should investigate.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it. If we get anything, we'll bring this up in like a separate video.
Yeah.
So let's get back on track.
Kay.
We're almost done with this episode, and then we'll let you know how, you know, the haunted Marriott turns out. So, okay. So in 1981, a man named John Hinckley attempts to assassinate the president. He actually shoots him. And whether you're into Reagan or not, you know, policy-wise.
Yeah.
One of the most badass things that I have read about is that he didn't even notice that he was shot in the shoulder. Like, he didn't feel it.
Yeah.
But he fully was shot.
Right.
Anyway, so he survived. He was okay. But Nancy was distraught and worried. And she started to fall back on her practices of, you know, what some people would think are superstitious. But a lot of people practice, you know, looking into horoscopes, tarot cards, all of that. You know, completely valid practices and lifestyle choices, especially if you're – probably if you're listening to us, you agree with that.
Yep.
but maybe not. We do. Like
– oh, yeah.
I think it can be very clarifying, even if it's not – if you're not fully into, like, psychics, it still can be a clarifying practice to, you know – be like, oh, I know what that means to me.
Yeah.
And it really can open up your thought process, I think, at the very least. Anyway, so Nancy Reagan starts seeking out a new astrologer. And her name was Joan Quigley.
Yeah.
Now, Joan would become a huge part of Nancy Reagan's daily life. They would speak on the phone several times a day. Joan Quigley would map out when to hold press conferences, the time of day that they should fly on Air Force One, like when takeoff should happen. And she was consulting star charts and things like this.
Yeah.
It's said that only Nancy Reagan practiced this and that Ronald Reagan was not into it or wouldn't speak on it, basically.
Yeah.
But I guess she spent thousands and thousands of dollars, which they did clarify
was personal money.
Personal,
yeah.
Right. And that this wasn't part of policy.
Right.
They did say no, it had nothing to do with policy-making decisions, you know. But one thing that I thought was kind of funny is Ronald Reagan would not publicly share the time he was born.
Right.
So that other people who practiced this couldn't make star charts and use that information against him.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the coolest things.
I love that.
That is some more paranormal in the White House in a different way.
Love that. And then, you know, there's a couple of really great stories, and I'd actually like to do like another episode on presidents and like UFOs and extraterrestrial knowledge and all that stuff.
Right.
But a quick anecdote, because we're going a little long here. There's this really great story about Nixon and Jackie Gleason.
Right. Okay, so we're getting into presidents and UFOs, and we're not going to dive too deep into this. I said that in kind of the intro, because some things can have their full own episode, and we have done one, like, on the Eisenhower administration.
Yes. Okay. So here's a quick and dirty on this one.
Okay.
But I think, actually, we should expand on it, because it's a cool story.
Maybe even just a for a fright or something.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Okay.
So there's a – Jackie Gleason is hosting a golf tournament, and Nixon is there to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jackie Gleason was a comedian in the 60s, 70s, 80s, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Nixon was a president.
Right.
And it turns out that both Nixon and Jackie Gleason were very into, like, UFOs and stuff.
Yeah. Like, and Nixon wanted to know.
Yeah.
Jackie Gleason would look into this in his personal life and be super interested in conspiracies, in paranormal, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So they are playing golf together, and the conversation sort of naturally flows towards UFOs and aliens and all this stuff, right? The tournament ends, and then now this is a story that comes from Jackie Gleason's wife after he had passed away, and she, like, wrote this article about it, right? Okay. So she says that same day, President Nixon shows up at their house by himself. And again, we'll do a deep dive into this.
Okay.
But he shows up and he's like, Jackie Gleason, come with me. There's something I need to show you. And they hop in this Jeep and they drive to a nearby military base.
Okay.
And reportedly, Nixon, he's the president, so he has access. He goes into this base with Jackie Gleason and shows him recovered wreckage and alien bodies.
Whoa.
And Jackie Gleason's wife said that he comes back late in the night, or like early morning. And Jackie Gleason, who is notoriously just like a hilarious, like, always in a good mood kind of guy, is like visibly distraught. And
because his entire world just changed.
Yes. Like, he is a changed man after this. Apparently, he doesn't, like, come out of this state for several days. And he ends up telling his wife what had happened. And he's like, but you cannot say anything to anybody. Like, and this is just so, like, on lockdown. And then, you know, he passes away and years go by. And then she writes this amazing article that this is a thing that happened.
No way.
Freaking crazy.
Also, I've just decided, because, you know, I say in the intro, like, policies and black budget projects aside, but let's do it. Let's part two this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And let's get more into the aliens.
Okay.
And let's get into the government researching the paranormal. Because we've talked on that too. We've hit the tip of the iceberg on that in several episodes. We've talked Montauk Project. Yep. We've talked, you know, all that kind of stuff. Conspiratorial things. You know, and of course we won't get too conspiratorial, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
And they have, the government has researched, like, PK, psychic phenomenon, phenomena, and all of that, and aliens, which the government's talking about today in open hearings.
Right.
So I just didn't want to, like, keep going with that because we've been talking about that. It's in the news. It's happening. But you know what? There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
There are new things happening or coming out or becoming declassified all the time.
Yep.
All right. So let's do part one.
We'll call this part one.
Part one. We've got the ghost stories of the White House. We've got some of the paranormal, you know, happenings during the presidencies. And part two, let's dive a little bigger, a little deeper into the alien thing.
Perfect.
A little more detail on that Jackie Gleason story.
Yeah.
We'll retouch on Eisenhower, but if you want, go back and listen to our Eisenhower episode. But there's even more to say about that, actually.
More to say. There's a really good one about Jimmy Carter, too.
Boom. And then we've got, we'll talk about some fun little projects. Remote viewing.
Yeah. That's a fun little project. All right.
Cool. Okay.
If you want to get a hold of us, you can find us at FrightLifeParanormal.com. You can check our social medias there. We have past episodes. There's a link to our merch store. And
yeah, we're going to go meet Brad and Lakin for brunch.
It's brunch time.
We'll come back and probably investigate this hotel room because things are acting quirky. And we're going to get our little booties over
yours isn't so little.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll get my big old butt over to the Whaley house today. Yesterday we were checking out the Hotel Del Coronado, which is also haunted. So we'll come up with some content on those things later. But until then,
happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday to Rosie. We hope you've had a frightful time with us here at Fright Life, a paranormal podcast.
Thanks so much for listening, you guys. We'll see you next time.